Okay, so let's begin with our agenda. Our review real quick is we'll do intros and reintros. We're going to talk about our action items. We have a variety of moves that happened recently to help consolidate various pages and repos and stuff. And I think there are still some inconsistencies where some things may not be moved or not everything be reflected in the appropriate places. So we would like to get everybody's kind of help in spotting, oh, I tried to go there and I can't find it. The digital verification group, there's a proposal of making it a task force rather than a separate group. And finally, we want to spend the end of the time today to sort of finalize a draft of the mission statement, make sure that people feel like they're comfortable with it. We will then give it a week for approval on the list. Any other minor tweaks, hopefully we can will be minor, and then we can submit it to W3C to change on the website, because right now, we can't change it ourselves. So, and then hopefully we have a couple of minutes to talk about the next few weeks' agendas. I will be gone for the next 2 weeks myself, and Kim will be running the show. Introductions. Is there anybody new today that's not been at our one of our credentials community group meetings before? Okay, I don't see anybody. So who hasn't been reintroduced for a while? Anybody want to volunteer?
Reintroduced.
Drummond, why don't you reintroduce yourself to people who maybe have joined since you first joined? Why are you here? Who do you represent? What do you care about in this area?
Got it, sure. So Drummond Reed, I'm Chief Trust Officer at Evernim and a trustee and chair of the Trust Firm Working Group at the Sovereign Foundation, and also co-chair of the W3C, the OASIS XDI Technical Committee. And I'm here, I'm working heavily on the DID, Decentralized Identifier Specification, with many of you on the call, and also on integrating verifiable claims with DIDs and all of the infrastructure that we'll require. So that's a little background.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, so our next agenda item is...
Hold on, we have a bot on the queue to introduce.
Hi, sorry, I figured I might as well reintroduce myself because it's been a while since I've joined these calls, so... Hi everyone, this is Abbas Ali. I work at R3 and I basically joined this group initially looking at verifiable claims and how we can use them for the purpose of onboarding at banks. And I primarily look at our partnerships with identity service providers. So trying to get reacquainted with this space, I'll be joining the calls going forward. Nice
Thank
to
you.
Meet everyone.
We look forward to your participation.
Thanks.
So first, some current action items, review of them. We are due to approve the new name and mission statement that we will be talking more about later today. I have completed a first draft of the mission statement, which is at this URL. At the bottom. Um, for further discussion. And
the bottom of what?
My IRC. I'm sorry. My IRC channel disappeared. went blank. There we go. So we are going to be talking about that, but we have a first script at the bottom. Thanks, everybody who helped with that. The next agenda item, action item, so that's what happened. The page closed. All right, window logistics. Windows never quite do what you thought they said they were going to do. Okay, here we go. Back to the and then we also need to talk about the proposal for how Digital Verification Community Group integrates with this, and we will be talking about that today. I have one other sort of announcement. For those of you who are participating in our face-to-face at Rebooting Web of Trust, there is a early bird discount, and if you that ends on Thursday. So if you want the extra 20% discount on all the various pricing models, you need to register by Thursday. That URL is here. We are beginning to receive topic proposals from various parties in the topics directory at the repo, and we encourage you to read those, and of course you can get an additional 50 to 75% discount if you participate in the topics and post a topic ahead of time. This is the repo, and the topics directory has those. Nanu submitted a primer on verifiable claims. I know Drummond is working on one for DIDs, et cetera, so that new members to the rebooting community. If you've got an idea of a primer that can help bootstrap professionals into our community, that would be appreciated. Any other sort of announcements or action items that we have forgotten about or have not put officially on the list?
I've got a question about the Rebooting Web of Trust registration. For those of us submitting topic papers, it's not clear to me how, like, I think you pay the fee. Is there, like, a refund that's given, or I'm confused as to how we buy tickets if we're submitting a topic paper.
Yeah. Well, first off, if for people who've already been at Rebooting, all I have to do is, Anna, for instance, I owe you a code because you've already submitted. So both Kim and I have codes for the 50 to 75% discount. I think it's 75% for the U.S. customers, and the international people have such a big discount to start off with. It is it's only 50% of them. So both of it brings it down to $100. So if you're contributing, then that maximizes things. So remind me to get you the code or ask him, and we can move that forward.
Okay, thanks.
But
to be clear, when you go to buy the ticket, it has a thing where you click enter promotional code, and that's where you do that. Okay.
That's correct. Okay. So onward on our agenda. So today there, this last week we chose to close on that we're going to keep the name. This sort of manifests itself in a variety of different things. I think we're saying for now, mainly because it's under our control, that this particular page, which is generated off of GitHub, will be our primary homepage. This is what we recommend that you send people to first, and this is the one where we need to, you know, try to keep it as up to date as possible because we can. It's all ours. It belongs to us. We should do this here. So if there are things that you can't find and you can't find it off of this page easily, talk to Kim or I or Manu, I think, has also modified this page so that we can make it more clear. And again, I'd really appreciate everybody to kind of, you know, help us look through these things and improve them. The second place is the official W3C page. This is if somebody searches for us, it is going to be the highest Google ranking. However, it is a WordPress site of which we have limited ability to make changes. As you can see, we have our very old mission statement. We have some pages on the right-hand side which we can't order easily, and then we have these blog posts that again, limit us. So I think the key thing is making sure that the pages thing on the right-hand side leads people to the community site and meeting minutes and, you know, things in order to begin to get involved. This is also the site where you officially join the group. You can participate in our calls and whatever without officially joining, but we really would like to have everybody join this group, which I can see right now one of the things that needs to be added as an issue is there is not a call for people to join the group on our homepage. So that would be an item. All the previous meetings, of which there were quite a few under various names and subnames, have been moved to this to the meetings link, which is here. If people spot anything wrong or whatever, but that's, you know, where our history going back. Manu, how many years of various meetings?
Until I think at least 2013, but it actually goes back to 2011. But 2013, I think, is this set it goes back to.
Right. So there's a lot of good information there. Hopefully soon it'll be easier to search using Google, but the it does now search in the if you use the GitHub search. So you go to that, go to the GitHub site that is associated with that, which is GitHub/W3C-CCG. You can search that and you can find things. The only other thing that I remember, I was looking for the Merkle tree or actually it's not even called Merkle tree because it doesn't use Merkle tree, but I was looking for it and when it should have been in the page for the digital verification working group, and I couldn't find it on that homepage, and it was in the repo, but just wasn't listed. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. But if anybody else had any, you know, recent problems, Lionel, I know you were trying to find your way around. Does this address the kinds of problems that you had when you joined?
Yeah, definite improvement in just the last 3 weeks. I found things quickly.
Fabulous. Abbas, we can certainly use your new eyes on this. As you've have, if you, you know, run into difficulties in understanding where we are and where to find things, your fresh eyes would be very appreciated, and you can do an issue in the W3C CCG community GitHub. Any other thoughts on this before we close this agenda item?
Kim's on the queue.
I just had a quick request for people. So, you know, we have this structure in place now. Menu gave us a good sort of site page, and I've muddied it a bit by trying to add more information about, like, work items, you know, things like that. So my goal for this page is to, like, for everything that we're working on or all the important specs, you know, have a handy place to link from. And so I'll be working on improving the structure. But as you look through it, if you have any suggestions from a, you know, UI, UX perspective, that's definitely not my strong suit. So I'm very open to suggestions, pull requests, et cetera, any kind of recommendations to organize it to make it clearer.
Okay, thank you. Actually, one place, at the bottom of the primer that Manu did for Rebooting Web of Trust is sort of a call for action thing for the working group. And we may want to mention the working group as well in this, because they are very explicitly separate and more limited, but, you know, people you know, should be aware that they're there and that there could be members of the discussion. That's one thing I spot as being missing. Okay, so that's it on that agenda. Now we're moving more into a discussion agenda item, which is the digital verification group. So as part of the changes and stuff last year with verifiable claims task force moving it into a verifiable claims working group, some items were excluded from their charters. So they moved them across over to the to a new digital verification community group, added me as a chair, and it's kind of it's just sort of sat there for a while. When we when I became chair with Kimberly here, I added her as also co-chair for that group because there was a lot of crossover. The challenge is the, you know, two different community groups, timing and meetings and whatever. How do we handle it? And there hasn't been a whole lot of, if we had more cryptographers on the call, I would say that, you know, we should be having separate meetings for that, et cetera. But that hasn't been what's happening so far. So proposing right now is that we changed the digital verification group to be, in effect, a task force. There's some value in it being a separate repo. There's some value in having it, you know, put in sometimes having separate meetings. For instance, at the previous call, there was some discussion about we really need to pound out some data minimization and selective disclosure issues and how it impacts the verify spec and how it impacts these other specs. So maybe that deserves a meeting that is a task force meeting. But it is under, it is under this group, and presumably when they finish something, we might actually move some of the items to other places on completion. But it does keep the issues separately so that, you know, people who are cryptographers or care about the, you know, sort of the lower levels can subscribe to those issues and participate in those discussions. Also keep the separate mailing list, et cetera. Don't know if we need to change it to the Digital Verification Task Force or any of that type of stuff. Don't know if that's necessary. I'm open to thoughts on this proposal. Any questions? In particular, Manu, who knows more about.
Just to support, I think this is a good direction, saying that the Digital Verification Community Group is kind of a sub-task force of this community group, I think works. So I think the structure is good. I just wanted to add a bit of color to what you said. One of the reasons for having a separate group is semi-political. When we went around and shopped the idea of linked data signatures and doing any kind of crypto work at W3C, we got strong pushback that, you know, a community of people that didn't consist entirely of cryptographers were working on cryptographic techniques, and that did not go over well at W3C. I'm not trying to sound judgmental here, but the security community tends to be fairly cliquey, and if you're not on the inside of the security community, you're viewed as an outsider, and thus the work that you're doing is kind of looked down upon. So the basic response was, why aren't you doing this work in the web crypto group? And at the time, the W3C staff contact for the web crypto group just was not interested at all in a lot of the stuff that we were working on. So, you know, there was the, why don't you bring the work in? We reject the work outright. We don't want it in this group. So the Digital Verification Community Group is separate from the Credentials Group because they viewed the Credentials Group as being composed of people that didn't know anything about crypto. And we will probably want to keep it separated for that reason and basically say, you know, the people in the Digital Verification Community Group are crypto folks. They have a good track record there, and they do the work there. And at some point, the Credentials Community Group may need something that the Digital Verification Community Group's doing and then suggest that it's moved standards track. So that's the reason that it's separate from the Credential CG. You know, Christopher, I don't think that there's ever a point where the CCG might be able to pull in a DVCG work item and say that we're going to work on it because we'll reopen ourselves to that kind of criticism that we had before. But that said, you know, things change. We have more cryptographers in this group than we did at that point. And we could say, you know, look, we've got, you know, folks like, Christopher and Lionel and Jan Kamenisch and the Evernim folks that do have quite a bit of cryptography expertise. And as a result of it, you know, the work should be in here. So there's a political reason for the separation of the group. And I think that is the primary thing kind of keeping both groups separate right now. And done. You might be muted, Christopher.
Christopher?
I think Christopher is encrypted.
Well, I can take over while he's offline. I don't see anyone on the queue. Are there any objections to an approach like this?
Sorry, I just sort of got randomly dropped. I'm back.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so
suggestions. No one's on the queue.
So one of the things one of the reasons why we wanted to maybe move to the sort of a task force language also was so that we could mention these different, you know, more technical things, you know, in our, on the master page for the community. You know, because I think they're all in incubation in various states, et cetera. And I also think that, you know, the priorities of which ones should be worked on should be defined by the credentials community, first and go from there. Manna, do you think that there's any value in keeping it called the VD, what is it, VG?
Yeah, the Digital Verification Community Group. Yeah, let's just, I think we're good. Like, let's just keep the name.
Okay.
It's a separate community group. The two community groups work together. There's, you know, the very specific crypto stuff the DBCG works on, and the higher level stuff the Credentials Community Group works on. It's a fairly clean, good separation that's politically attractive to, you know, folks at W3C.
Okay. Any other comments? Any you want to do an official proposal and to both lists and Manu and say that you know it's organized
chairs,
as a task force. It's,
the chairs have to do that.
Oh,
yep.
Got it.
You
okay.
So you do that.
Okay. Dealing with vacation stuff. Kim, are you up to writing that up?
Yeah, I'll take it Saturday.
Okay, so she'll send that out. If there are any objections or concerns, they can be brought up at our next meeting to that final proposal, and otherwise we'll accept it as being final in 2 weeks. Okay, Q, go ahead. Brian?
I was wondering if we could put subscribe links directly onto our homepage, and I was just exploring that and realized I didn't need to ask a question. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Just a quick note on that, we should not do that because of a hole in the way W3C works. You can subscribe to a mailing list without signing up for the patent policy stuff, which enables people to join the mailing list and start talking about patent stuff without having signed the patent policy, and it can lead to a patent attack. So we should make sure that people go and actually join the community group, because when they join the community group, they sign up to the patent policy.
Okay. So we should have the button to that. We should have a copy of that button on our page.
Yes.
Not a direct, you know, okay. And does that button also subscribe you?
It does automatically subscribe you, yes.
So, Ryan, the page that has the official join is that link, and we'll find some way to make that join button work in other places, hopefully. Okay, so that closes out that agenda item. Now we get to what I hope we can close today for an official 1 week review. Which is the discussion about the mission statement. Again, the mission statement is here near the bottom. I encourage everybody to open up this Google Doc. And every time I open up a Google Doc, my IRC completely stalls, so it takes me a second to.
I got a link to it in there, Christopher, with a bookmark.
There it is.
Or
great. Okay.
Previous link.
Okay, so again, if you go down near the bottom, there's been a lot of work on the various aspects of it. So since the last time I looked at it, we have a few things. Let's just walk quickly through some of the things. So the first one is the mission purpose. So yes, so the request is that these are mission statements, because all the other community groups have mission statements. I agree, it's maybe a little long. So we changed that to mission. The next question was Manu. The whole purpose of standardization is interoperability, so we probably don't need to say interoperable. That makes sense to me. I'm actually, rather than necessarily using the Q right now, feel free to speak up for the next couple of minutes while we walk through the changes that have already been suggested. So, anybody have any objections to interoperable creation, since that is standardization?
Looks good to me.
Okay. We'll basically check that one off. The next one is. Okay, so at one point that got moved elsewhere. I think that was Ryan moved it down below. Are you fine with it being here?
Creation, storage, presentation, verification. I think that was slightly different from explaining our tasks. So those parts we were trying to keep at the top, with presentation of proofs by the bearer. So I think the question is, with this edit, is creation, storage, presentation, and verification more clear than explore something about credentials and the presentation of the proofs by the bearer? I'm fine with it. It sounds fine to me.
Okay.
If anyone else
Is this consistent with our language now? As the
that's the reason I made that suggestion, is because it is a direct representation of the kind of lifecycle ecosystem stuff that David Chadwick's been working on, and it's aligned with the terminology in the verifiable claims data model stuff. So, the purpose there is to say. We think about the ecosystem in its entirety, and its ecosystem contains creation, storage, presentation, verification as actions in the ecosystem.
Okay. So unless there are any objections, I'd like to accept this. Last call for an objection. I'm not seeing any, and I'm not seeing any in the chat, so off. Okay, the next one. This was originally done by a couple of different people. I think both Ryan and Kim had added some things in this, as I recall. I think the point was that we needed to say something a little bit more precise about what makes this different than other kind of credential and other systems. And we felt that saying something about the fact that these are really designed so that the bearer can send them, not necessarily the subject or the issuer. So Manu, you objected to this. Is there some way that we can be more clear that our system includes this distinction? Because it is something unique to our architecture that we, have desired and is one of our fundamental blocks.
It is. So when I made an editing pass at this, it felt a little too wordy. There's too much there. I agree that it is an important distinction of the work, but kind of, you know, specifically the text and the presentation of their proofs by the bearer condenses down into presentation. Now, it's true that you could say, oh, well, OpenID does exactly this, but I'm wondering if we need to spell that out in the mission statement. Here's another way of looking at it. The mission should be fairly high level and visionary, and I don't think we need to be super specific about it. Or if we are specific, we should be specific about the types of solutions and approaches that we're taking. And we do that later on. So we talk about self-sovereign identity, and the thing that makes our mission different from OpenID Connect, for example, is we do think of self-sovereign identity as a critical piece of it. We think about decentralized registries, right? So I think those two things demonstrate why what we're doing is different from, federated identity systems, which have come before it. And as a result of that, I think we can strike that language because we outline it somewhere else or highlight it somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm still kind of pushing back that I feel like it need what I'm not necessarily on the whole presentation of the proofs by the bearer there, but I still feel like it's something that needs to be up top in the same way that we've said that, you know, we support self-sovereign identity and decentralized registries and whatever. We're basically saying it's for all of these things as one of our fundamental value propositions. I think this bearer property is a fundamental value. There's also for the blockchain community, there's a fundamental value in talking about bearer instruments. So this is an identity bearer instrument. Bitcoin is a token bearer instrument. Is there any other way that we could fit that in somehow?
It could say something like empowering individuals and bearers, or something along those lines, right? So trying to capture not necessarily the approach, but the end result, what we'd like to see, right? So what you've just said has more to do about, you know, individual empowerment and kind of bearer empowerment versus what traditional federated ID systems do. I don't have specific language though.
Okay. So I'm going to leave this
for a second.
Sure. Go ahead.
I think what I'm hearing is Manu is saying the mission statement should really set up our authority. But what I hear Christopher saying is that this idea of the bearer presents the proof is kind of the paradigm shift that people, when they hear this, they start to get it. So that's kind of the tension I'm hearing, is do we want to spend words like helping people get through the paradigm shift, or are we just setting up our authority here?
Yep.
So I'm going to basically not accept this change quite yet. I encourage people, if they've got a suggestion for where's a better place to do the bearer thing, and then we can resolve it there. But you could just do it in the comments of that particular thing. So the
Did you consider adding it when you talk about inclusive of approaches? Maybe it's a kind of approach. Could it go down to there? And you could say innovative forms of bearer proofs.
Or you could say approaches such as self-sovereign identity, where the proof is presented by the bearer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we'll put it in the comments.
The challenge that, I think we should put it in the comments. But I think the challenge is that right now the approaches, self-sovereign, decentralized registries, federated identity systems, and centralized authorities, has a fairly good parallelism. But then we're adding, something that isn't quite as parallel. But we can talk about that in a minute. Actually, I'm gonna jump ahead to Ryan Reordered. this list that was that exact session. We had self-sovereign last. He was proposing self-sovereign first. I don't believe that there are any objections to that. So the new reading would be self-sovereign identity, decentralized registries, federated identity systems, and centralized authorities, period. Any objections to that switch? I don't think. I'm not hearing any. That's not controversial, so go there. That'll make my editing easier. Okay, so here it is. A set of verifiable assertions or a set of verifiable claims. So Dave, you want to speak to that?
Sure. I thought it would be good to highlight two things, that a credential can be more than a single verifiable assertion, and it might be good to tie this to and have the term verifiable claim in the mission statement. So those are the two items. There's multiple claims. There's multiple things going on, and maybe having the term verifiable claims would be good in here.
Okay. That scene, I didn't do that right. Let's see. I'm in the wrong editing mode. Okay, back. So a set of verifiable assertions, and make that claims. That seem reasonable to folk? Any objections?
Yes. It's good.
Go ahead. Okay.
The only one minor pushback in that I thought we were, longly I'm confused, because I thought that we were trying to get away from saying verifiable claims and go to, it feels counter to what you're arguing in one of the model spec issues.
This is a mission statement, and verifiable claims is becoming a term of art that lots of people are using. And we are building technology for that space. I'm not a fan of the term verifiable claims. I think verifiable credentials is better, but I'm just trying to accept the reality that having the term in there might be a good draw, a good search item for what this group is working on.
Okay.
So the question, I guess, here is we're in the verifiable claims working group, we are introducing more strongly a concept of verifiable credentials as a specific thing in that spec. So I'm actually going to leave that as verifiable credentials.
What if we focus on verifiable credentials, in parentheses, a set of verifiable claims, then we get both terms in.
Is that correct, Manu and Dave? If that's correct as far as your language,
correct.
Then I'm fine with that.
Let me try to suggest something verifiable. We focus on a verifiable credential as a set of claims by an issuer about a subject. That is technically correct. Whether people read that and understand what it means is.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and accept them for now, and let's look at what they look like, because that I think is more consistent with the verifiable claims spec and discussions there.
Should it be a set of signed claims or a signed set of claims, or do we even want to go there?
Well, this is the group that can sign things.
I don't think we should go there because we are still having this discussion around proofs, and signatures, and it may be that,
right.
it, you know, so let's stay away
I understand that. The only reason I bring that up is because what makes it verifiable is the other stuff, right? Because
yeah.
we actually have credentials that are not verifiable because they are just a set of claims.
Yep.
Is there a reason we took verifiable out in front of claims? Can we put verifiable in there again?
It is not technically accurate. The thing that makes a claim verifiable—I don't know—the thing that makes a claim verifiable is actually the credential, which is what Dan just said. It is not the claim itself. And people have been reading verifiable claims and thinking that that is like an atomic thing, an atomic data structure, when it is not. Right. So the only way you get a verifiable claim is if you have a verifiable credential. Verifiable claims do not exist by themselves, if that makes any sense.
Claims are not individually verifiable. They are verified as a set together, which makes them a verifiable credential.
Correct.
Something like that, yes.
That had a lot of nuance. I would need to see that
yeah.
written down somewhere else.
Well, that's and again, that's part of the you know the division of the two groups. The verifiable claims working group has been trying to clean up this language, and so I think that's where some of the the discussions there are where it actually belongs in some ways. So I'd really prefer to use their language when we're talking about verifiable credentials and claims, and then we can define language about how stuff is signed or proven or et cetera. That makes sense.
Yep.
So how do I accept all of this? Let's see. Okay, that's Manu. Oops. Can I undo that? Okay, so.
Alan's trying to say right now.
So I'm at the approaches such as I'm fine with that. Why did we? So I think Ryan had put in self-sovereign identity participants to sort of parallel decentralized registries, federated systems, centralized authorities. There wasn't a parallel construction there. Self-sovereign identity, is that sufficient, or is it the...
Let me jump in quick. I'm the one that made this suggestion. So I don't think we had approaches before this sentence. I think that got added at some point.
Okay.
Meaning I suggested, you know, the list seemed like a list of technologies. And I thought that we should make it broader and make it a list of approaches. So, you know, this group is fine with a bunch of different approaches. We, in fact, the credentials that we create, we want them to be reused in a variety of different approaches. There are centralized approaches, there are decentralized approaches, there are federated approaches, and we don't assert that any one of them is the specific one you should do. So we're creating credentials that can be used in a variety of these different approaches. You know, self-sovereign identity, you could argue, is an approach to establishing identity, right? And that's and so is centralized identity systems, right? So that's why the approaches language was included, so that we could kind of give people an example of the types of approaches that we are that we're thinking about, without saying this is the only set of things that we're thinking about. Hopefully that helped kind of explain the text.
Okay, so given that,
So I see what you're doing now. The goal here, I think, is to try and paint with a broad brush, and I think maybe data minimization and selective disclosure is too narrow to put in there. Or we should pick one over the other, where it's like selective disclosure, you're arguing it's a technique, maybe we should only have data minimization in there.
I will argue that the data minimization is the superset. Selective disclosure is a particular method of doing.
Exactly. So you know, we keep data minimization in there and take selective disclosure out. Again, I think the purpose of the mission is to succinctly explain to people what we're doing. And you know, the more text we have in there, the harder it is for people to kind of get their mind wrapped around what we're doing.
Manny, can you give me an approach, grammar for the thing that centralized authorities are providing?
Not off the, that one seems fine to me. Being a centralized authority is, I guess, an approach for doing identity, centralized identity. But again, yeah, I don't have a good suggestion, Ryan. Not off the top of my head.
It sounds like we're really talking about key distribution. So are we talking about centralized key distribution?
Well, I was thinking about centralized identifier registries. And maybe we can simplify a lot of this stuff by saying centralized or decentralized registries and identity systems. That would simplify the last three items in that list.
I'm fine with that. Manny, you want to type that in and I'll accept it?
Sure. So centralized and decentralized identity and, wait a second, registry and identity.
You're going to want to put federated in there as well.
Okay.
It's a hybrid of the two.
Okay.
Centralized, federated, and decentralized.
Federated and decentralized registry and identity systems.
Yeah. Okay.
And then that enables us to remove self-sovereign identity, but I don't know if we really want to do that because this group is kind of all about that.
No, I think there's a difference. I don't want to remove it because there is a difference between self-sovereign identity and a decentralized identity system. I think there will be lots of decentralized identity things that will emerge that have different qualifiers for what do they mean by decentralized, but are not necessarily decentralized to the user. They're decentralized to a group of people, or they're decentralized to a different burden. So,
agreed. Self-sovereign is more about control. It's not about the physical structure.
Okay.
Right. Okay, I'm going to accept that for now. Okay, so we've had this ongoing of where in heck for the internet goes. So the latest version moving it to it was up near the top, now it got moved to the bottom, and now it's been moved to here. So Manu, you had the latest change, arguments for against the two spots.
I just moved it forward. So I took it off of the end and we're basically saying our tasks include drafting and incubating technical specifications for the internet. So we are specifically creating technical specifications for the internet and then prototyping, testing, reference implementation suitable for further standardization. So I just moved it from the end of the sentence to the beginning.
Ryan, I like it. Ryan, do you have any objections?
Sounds great to me.
My objection is that the implementations are not what are standardized. These specifications are.
So move that earlier in the sentence longly?
Well, except for the fact that this is maybe a difference between IETF and W3C. Reference implementations are a lot closer to the standard. And I'm not saying that the canonical version of a standard is the reference implementation. The canonical version is the spec, but it can still be part of the standard. And with crypto code in particular, reference implementations are very important.
And notice we do not say where that further standardization work needs to happen. The truth is that if the reference implementation needs to go somewhere else, it can.
Well, in fact, we can't do final standards. We have to, we can incubate them, say that it's suitable for further standardization, and then we have to find a place to standardize it, whether or not it's forming a new W3C work group, giving it to an existing W3C work group, or passing it on to IETF or OASIS. That is kind of a limitation of and advantage of this group.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm still fine with moving it, though. Okay, so that means we've moved that now, so we can close out that one. There's a new place for the presentation of the proofs web browser. I accept it, but everybody ought to read it. Okay, I'm actually going to get rid of, I'm going to get rid of Brian's thing there because that's been resolved. Okay, so this, to close it out, is there anything, because we're integrating the digital verification aspects of things in here, and this is more of a question for Manu, do we need to talk about that at all? Here.
I'm sorry, talk about what specifically?
Okay, so to a certain extent, we've said unofficially that the verified data community group is our task force.
We don't have to mention that in the mission statement at all. And not mentioning it is better because it allows us plasticity on moving that thing around whenever we see fit.
Okay. So where are we? We have an awkward section. Which one is awkward? Okay.
Great, whoever made that change. Maybe that's you, Longley.
That's David's suggestion.
Yep. Our tasks include drafting and incubating internet specifications for further standardization and prototyping. That's great. Plus one. Done.
So, Chris, you can accept the for the internet deletion.
I'm wondering if we lost him again.
No, I'm here. Sorry. I'm trying to read and look at the clock. It's kind of okay, so I'm going to resolve that. I'm going to resolve Lionel's for now. We can still, Lionel, if you want to bring that up more as far as we need to say much. So the only thing that I had as a sort of a bigger, issue as far as architecture, that I kind of thought was fundamentally different about what we're doing is the idea of long-lived credentials. So we're talking about things that might be, yes, I can prove that I was married 25 years ago, even though all the keys have been replaced, all the keys have been rotated and updated since then, but, you know, I can still offer a proof that can demonstrate that in the past. I can still share a proof, I should say. That's something fundamentally different and an important challenge for us. You know, I did graduate from, you know, Bainbridge Graduate Institute, even though it was changed its name twice and then got acquired by another school. Is there any way to
Can I get a little technical background on that? So that's a verifiable claim that you would hold, but who would sign your nonce?
So the nonce is a separate problem, okay? But the thing is, it was valid at the time that it was issued, and it was in addition to whatever other properties it had, it also has a proof of existence. And you can basically examine that later, you know, when that those keys are no longer valid, you can just find out, oh, but the keys were registered with their proof of existence on this date, were revoked with their proof of existence on this date. This it was issued before the keys were revoked, and the revocation was not a major compromise, so such that we don't trust all keys generated. Thus, we will trust this credential in the future. Does that make sense?
I think that makes sense. So what you're saying is that the thing has a signature that does not require an nonce to check, as well as the protocol would normally ask you to.
We definitely have issues on how to resolve, how to do this, but I do believe, given the educational use case that is what has been selected as the primary use case for the verifiable claims work group, for my needs as far as certain kinds of Web of Trust situations certain kinds of things in the refugee use cases, you want to be able to present claims that, you know, people can interpret. There is no you must interpret things this way, but it does allow somebody to make a reasonable claim as being true in the past that such and such was true. And that's something we can do far easier in many ways designing into our systems than some of the other approaches. And I consider it a strength. It is not mentioned in our mission statement.
So that sounds really important to me.
Very exciting.
Do we need
stuff.
To put it on the agenda, or can we just get consensus?
How about
yes, I was thinking about what you're doing.
Is that the right way to do it, or is it because that lowers the value of the presentation of proofs by the bearer?
Yeah, I think that makes proofs by the bearer harder to understand because it's really tied up with this other thing that suddenly doesn't require you to sign a nonce.
But it is
an
approach.
Can we add it as a new list item, basically, so it's not diluting the proofs?
Can you sneak it in up here?
Not all of them necessarily are.
Yeah, it's definitely an optional thing.
Um,
and is long lived the best way to describe it? Persistent? Or both?
Credentials of unknown duration?
I think you've raised a tricky issue, and we're already people have left due to timeout.
Yep. Manu, are you still here?
No, he had to run off.
Okay. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to not accept this now. My issue down here is still true. If anybody has any comments or plus ones, you could put it into the issue that's associated with what I did down there. I will send, are there any other open issues on this version? I don't think so.
I don't see any.
So, Kim, we've resolved your issue, right?
Yes.
I got to drop two.
Okay, Kim, have we resolved this issue?
Yes, that's resolved too. I think it's really the long-lived discussion captures everything that combined with their presentation.
Okay. Okay, and these are also closed. Okay, I think we've got closure. I hate doing a meeting where people have to drop off rather than us giving a nice, graceful close. That's the way it goes. Somebody know how to close off the minutes or some code or whatever that has to be sent to the chat bot?
Oh, I wasn't aware there was one. I think it's probably we could follow up with Manu.
Okay. Anybody have any who's left have any other things they want to quickly chat about before, as long as you're hanging around?
I don't know. If you have time, I could we could chat about the hackathon a little bit.
Sure.
Is it okay? So I have some C code that I've that I made some modifications to, and I'm kind of getting it back into shape to kind of do what some of the Python code does. I guess one question is, I'm feeling that the spec needs more words in it to get feedback, and I'm feeling that this the C code for the hackathon kind of is mostly handled by the Python example and by Kim's JavaScript. So I'm wondering, you know, does it seem to other people as well that it's more valuable to get as many words into the BTCR specification as soon as possible to start getting feedback on that first, or are there still some things you think we could learn by me getting further on the C code?
I would say C code, because here's some of my things that have kind of happened since that type of thing. So first off, that our hackathon revealed a fundamental miscommunication that a number of people who have been involved with verified claims for some time have not completely grokked in things. And those issues include the fact that there are entities, that there are verifiable credentials, not really verifiable claims, and that, you know, the entity profiles are different, potentially different looking to different people, depending on, you know, what you've collected and what you've validated. And that caused a number of problems that were, you know, sort of wrestling with in language and such.
Yeah,
you've seen
very
a little
useful.
Bit of it in
yeah,
useful ones. So that's one. Two, you know, I would love in the next 2 weeks to dive into the DDO stuff, but I'm going on vacation. My last day's Friday, and everybody's piling me up with appointments and work before I head out the door on Friday. So the next 2 weeks, I've asked Kim to if she could not do DID stuff. And there's a lot of weird DID stuff that we need to kind of, you know, forget the DID spec, do what's necessary, you know, name things the way it should be named given what we learned, and then propose back to the spec those changes. And that includes, coming up with something better than owner and control for those two blocks. There is a third set of keys, which is a set of proofs, which is the issue, you know, those proofs that are proofs of issuance. It could be that it should just be a proof section and a single proof section, and then you say this key can be used for control, this key, or whatever we're going to rename control, this key can be used for ownership but not issuance, and this key can be used for issuance, type of thing. Because typically, in, say, the BTC, the transaction key can be used for issuance and for proof of ownership. It cannot be used for proof of control. And again, we need to rename those things. So that's
right.
Something else that we need to define. And, you know, my feeling right now is it would be great if you and Kim, you know, had a quick demo with using these names and maybe just a single proof section. And then we have a need for a list of claims accepted and claims that I agreed to share that I've issued for discovery purposes. So, you know, I would put in my DDO those claims that Kim made about me that I've accepted. But I've also issued claims to her. You know, I can explicitly say, hey, here is the information about a claim that I issued about her that is in my DDO.
Claims I carry and claims I'll sign.
It's not precisely sign, it's accept. So the idea is, Kim basically says, you know, I know Christopher Allen. Know is a property under schema.org that must be two-way for it to be valid. I accept knows, and then I issue her a knows, and she accepts that. Well, we've sort of done mutual proofs of that we know each other, and it is a binary relationship, and we both acknowledge it.
Okay, I'm going to name that semantics knows, of mutual friendship.
Yeah, I'm not sure friendship is the right word, but knows.
Okay, mutual acquaintance.
Connection.
Connection, yes.
Okay.
So
if you
so
combine
can you talk
that
a little
with
bit?
Hold on. Let me say one more step.
Yeah.
Combined with nonces, we can also do more than knows. We can also say we actually have proofs of keys. That the proof of we validate, we have evidence of the other party having the keys that, having possession of the owner keys that they said they possess.
Okay. Can we talk more about the single proof section? So it sounds like one way to do a single proof section is to say, here's a key ID. Here's a way to verify a proof, and then the DID spec could just index into that.
Yeah.
And say, okay.
It's looking for proofs of property, ownership, and if there are none, it fails. It bails out if there's one. It uses that one. If there are multiple, but that same key could be used also for issuing. So in what I call the paranoid version, the most restrictive profile for BTCR, where you're being super careful about everything, you do not reuse your Bitcoin key to sign your DDO, to sign your claims. You only use it to sign the first DDO. And you never use it again.
Right.
You throw it away just like you throw away your Bitcoin key. The price for that means that every time you want to update your first DDO, not the subsequent ones, that implies there is also an extend the DDO key potentially is another field that basically says you can use this key to extend the DDO, but you can't use it to issue claims or unless it's marked. For that, you can't use it to issue claims. And then various proofs can have, you could, and maybe not a BTCR, but you could have a proof section of a IPFS DID method where the proof key, the claim key, the control key, the extend key is all the same key.
So the new idea that I heard you say today is the extend key, and I would call it the append key.
I like that. Much better.
Yeah. Okay. We could call it the chain on key. Oh no. All right. Yeah, it's called a pen key. Cool. That's a lot of ideas. That's certainly plenty of code to write.
So if you guys can, you know, agree with me, and you don't necessarily have to agree with me, but if you guys can, you know, look at the, you know, DDO and the DDO1, put some, you know, claims that you are, you know, claiming about each other in your DIDs and put them someplace, and have a proposal for, you know, looking at this, I would say that's what we should discuss when I return on the 29th.
Right.
Is walk through that by ground.
Basically make claims, right? Get code working on claims. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
And
okay.
And the DEO cleaned up, you know, in this. And if there are any other things you spot. Kim, are you still on?
Huh?
Yes, I am. Yeah, that's
you like
good
this? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am
wants
super swamped. Kim, just for expectations, I am in full-time dad mode. My daughter is starting school tomorrow. So I like the direction we're headed in. I like knowing what the direction is. But I'm not making any really strong commitments about work availability for the next week. So, but it's still really helpful to be talking about this.
Yeah. So the following week might be better?
Just if we're going to schedule anything, next week is definitely better.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Well, unless there's anything else, thank you much. Kim, I will do our closing call on Friday.
Okay, sounds great.
And if I am available on Slack, if people have any, you know, quick questions or whatever, I will be checking it periodically when I'm traveling. But, you know, don't expect to reply in 24 hours, in less than 24 hours.
Perfect.
I'll be out in the desert, and I don't have Verizon on my phone. So, Verizon's the only thing that really works well out in the desert. So.
Oh, yeah, it's desert season, desert festival season. Look at that.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Talk to you guys later. And if I don't chat with you in person, have a great week and a few weeks before we talk again, which is the 29th.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Talk soon. And bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next week, Kim. Bye.